Welcome to The Positive Twist, a podcast about dystonia. I'm your host, Amanda Benson, and in each episode, I will be interviewing patients, caregivers, and experts who tell their story related to dystonia. Each story ending in, you guessed it, a positive twist. Thank you for tuning in. Now, let's roll the episode. Hello. In today's episode, I welcome Johanna Blom. Thank you for joining us on the Positive Twist podcast.
Thanks for inviting me.
Absolutely. So I thought we would jump straight into the interview. I would love to hear you tell us a little bit about yourself and kind of how you got into this field of working with dystonia patients.
Yes, my name is Johanna Blom, and my profession is a physiotherapist. Since 2001, I have been working at the neurology department at the University Hospital of Skåne in Malmö. Malmö is the third greatest city of Sweden, and about 50% of my working hours I spend in inpatient care with various kinds of acute neurological diseases and injuries, but especially stroke. The other 50% I spend with outpatients suffering from neuromuscular diseases, spasticity, or dystonia. Among the dystonia patients, I most often meet the patient with the cervical dystonia, but also others with, for example, writer's cramp, musician's dystonia, limb dystonia, and generalized dystonia. My interest in neurology is very great, to work with a whole person, the field where there is always something more to learn, the importance of the analysis, and so on. And during my first period at the neurology clinic, it was my colleague Barbro Pietri, who was responsible for the dystonia patients, their assessment and treatment. She had much competence about this disorder, but when she was getting retired in 2007, I was the one who tried to replace her. Her treatment was grounded on the concept of Jean-Pierre Bleton, and followed those principles and strategies. And later on, I have also met him and worked together with him on conferences and courses. I have read his articles and his book. And there is also a Swedish physiotherapist, Lena Zetterberg, who made her thesis on dystonia. And we met sometimes and learned from each other. And with more patients, the experience of mine grew. And I developed the analysis, the understanding, the exercises, and the strategies for the patients.
So you mentioned that you work with dystonia patients on a regular basis. I'm curious to know what is the typical percentage of patients that come in with symptoms of dystonia that you're involved in treating?
Perhaps I have 2 days a week with the outpatients, and perhaps totally 30% of my working time I spend with the dystonia patients. I work in a team very close to the neurologist and with administration from a secretary. And when there is a need for other professions, we put them in the team. And usually the physician and I do the assessment of new patients together, make an analysis of the pattern and the suggestion of the botulinotoxin schedule. I evaluate the botulinotoxin injections and perhaps add some new suggestions for next injection. I offer the patient with dystonia, with cervical dystonia, physiotherapy treatment and a home training program, and the same for some of the other dystonia forms too.
Interesting. So yeah, I want to circle back to your work with Jean-Pierre Bleton, because I know that he has been very meaningful in this area of physiotherapy for dystonia patients. So when exactly did you get introduced to Jean-Pierre Bleton?
Yes, it was when I started with the dystonia patients 2007 because my colleague talked about him, and she learned me about dystonia treatment from his background and his principles. And then I read some articles from him, but it took some years before I met him the first time.
Can you tell us a little bit about his methods and how you apply them in your job today? Is it something that you use in your work today?
Yes, I work them. I work his strategies, but I develop them from my experience. I develop them. So I don't think we work exactly the same, but we have the the principles, the ground principles and strategies together. It's very much to strengthen and activate the antagonists and to reduce the tonus, to train motor and postural control, to do the stretching, to do keep mobility, to relaxing, and to work with trunk rotations and grounding and so on. But it's very much to activate and strengthen the antagonist, the correcting muscles, and to reduce the tonus in the dystonia muscles, the agonists.
We were talking about dystonia patients and how you work with a team of experts to give them the best treatment possible. Do you think that dystonia patients typically receive the care that they need in today's healthcare system?
I know that the knowledge about dystonia in Europe is growing, and the treatment is getting better. And I think more of the persons with dystonia meet the competence today than for 10 years and 20 years. But still, there is a big variation in Sweden, in Europe, and the world in the availability of good treatment, depending where you live. Many people with dystonia still have to wait for the right diagnosis and right treatment. Many patients with dystonia still haven't tried physiotherapy, and some have a very advanced therapies without trying the physiotherapy. And many patients with cervical dystonia treated with botulinum toxin injections still haven't the most effective schedule of muscles and doses. And I hope we will change this in the coming years.
And you mentioned the importance of the combination of injections together with physiotherapy. Can you elaborate a little bit on that?
Yes, the physiotherapy for especially the cervical dystonia, but also other forms of dystonia, is a very important part of the treatment, together with the botulinum toxin injections, DBS, or other methods. And the home training program is a necessary part of the physiotherapy if there is going to be a long-lasting effect. To change the brain, you have to repeat. And the botulinum toxin injections is a needed treatment for most of the focal dystonia forms. And I work very close to other neurologists in choosing the dystonic muscles and not the corrective muscles, and suitable dose relations in complex patterns. When I have workshops and sessions, I also talk about this. It isn't enough to have botulinum toxin injections. The botulinum toxin schedule has to be tried out from the analysis and guided by EMG and or ultrasound.
I know that apart from helping patients, you've also gotten involved in teaching other physiotherapists about dystonia. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes, it was in 2013. I had a workshop about cervical dystonia for physiotherapists in Sweden, arranged by the Swedish Dystonia Association. And the workshops, it's a special concept with theoretical parts mixed with practical parts, with videos and patients participating. Two people from the Norwegian Dystonia Association participated, and afterwards they invited me to be an educator in a 3-year long project with the two steps workshops in cervical dystonia, directed to physiotherapists in Norway. I visited wonderful places and met wonderful people and educated together with a neurologist, plenty of physiotherapists in Norway. And after a while, Denmark called me and wanted me to do the same thing in Denmark. And so it was. Later on, I have also had this type of workshops in Finland and Latvia. Once I had a workshop in Slovakia and in Switzerland. I had sessions, workshops for different professions, for example, physicians, nurses and physiotherapists in some Nordic congresses too, and also in Poland. And at the same time, we have developed these workshops in Sweden, so I had more of those two or three steps workshops in Sweden at the same time. It's very important for me with the spreading of the knowledge. It's important for me to develop and use my professional competence in the meeting with the patient, but also to spread the competence further. And I think it's a responsibility if you work in a university hospital to increase the knowledge for your unit, but also for the colleagues outside the hospital. Well, that is why I do these workshops and sessions. It also is the reason why I wrote a book, Muscles in Imbalance, Cervical Dystonia and Spasticity, which was published in February 2018. The book is in Swedish and it's directed to physiotherapists, but also for other professions and for patients. And I have got very much good feedback. Some physiotherapists have told me that this is a unique book with this practical content, useful directly in the clinic. Some person said, the best book ever in this field. So I'm very happy to hear that that it's a book which they can use in their work, in their daily work with the patients.
That's great. Do you still host these workshops?
Now is COVID time. So now there is no possibility for me to travel around and gather people for the sessions and workshops. And of course, you can do very much online. The ground in the workshop is very much involving the participants to learn and to see and to discuss and so on. So you can't replace them with a digital variant. So I'm booked in autumn of 2021 and for some workshops and also for the spring in 2022. They have pushed the workshops in the future. So I hope we will be able to have them then. And it's a very good thing for me too, to meet all the physiotherapists and patients in the Northern Europe, because I've learned very much from this by myself, because when you discuss and when you listen to the questions and have examples from others, then you grow in your own knowledge too.
Yeah, I can imagine. And I'm glad to hear that your book has been such a success. Have you considered getting it translated?
I was thinking about it. I called some people about the possibility to do it, but it's a difficult time for this now. Some countries, they have asked for the English translation, but it must wait because it's difficult to do it now. Some physiotherapists and also some patients have ordered it from me, both from Norway and Finland and Denmark.
Right.
Some of them can understand the Swedish language, but yes. But it's most for the physiotherapist because it's the professional language and so on. But many patients wanted to have the book because it's some exercises in it too. It has been a very unusual year with the corona. For me, not these workshops and sessions. So I have had some time to think about my working methods and about the needs for the physiotherapists and the patients in Sweden. So then I got an ID about creating a digital platform with about 100 exercises to choose from for use in the treatment and to have the possibility to form a home training program. And this app is going to be developed by Dystonia Europe. And we are having a very good teamwork around this right now. Of course, we need economical sponsors. And we're soon going to send in the requests. So the project is just in the plan now, and it will start in Sweden. And if the goals are successful, the next step is Europe and perhaps other types of dystonia.
Very interesting. So this is primarily first for cervical dystonia?
Yes, we will start with cervical dystonia and okay. In Sweden, in Swedish. But in the second step, we will make it in English and possible for Europe. And perhaps we can develop it for other dystonia forms too.
Very interesting. And when are you expecting to hear about this project? You said it was still in the planning stages.
Yes, so it depends on the sponsors. we are working very hard on the documents right now and the description of the project. But I think in the first year we are going to develop it for Swedish physiotherapists, and in the second year perhaps for the Europe and Bleton is involved also now. We have invited him and he was very glad to be in the team, so he's involved too. But this is very much in the early phase right now, but I will give it as a breaking through for the future.
Yeah, that's very exciting. We will definitely follow how things are going, and perhaps by the time this podcast airs, we'll know more. I think it's great to hear that from this year being the way that it was, or last year, 2020, due to COVID-19, there are still new and improved methods coming out. And probably, like you mentioned, the fact that it was an unusual year, it made you think in a different direction. So very yes. excited to see what can come out of this.
Yes.
I wanted to ask you too, is there anything that you can suggest for a dystonia patient to do themselves if they find it hard to find a specialized physiotherapist where they live?
Yes, it's difficult because I think it's very important to meet a physiotherapist. The first thing, if you're not having availability to recommended treatment for your type of dystonia, ask for it. Ask for it. It's difficult because there's very different patterns in different dystonia forms and in cervical dystonia too. So it's you can't say this is the exercise for you because it differs. But it's important to find moments giving you relaxation. Find moments which normalize your posture for some seconds, and to find moments for mobility. And one strategy is to train in the opposite direction of the dystonia. Train the correcting muscles, the antagonists, the opposite direction. So if you have a torticollis to the right, then train to turn the head to the left. But it's difficult because you have to use some strategies to be able to do it. And sometimes you can use your hand and look at your hand with the eyes. So you follow the hand with the eyes. And sometimes it can be more easy if you have some reference For example, if you raise your hand, if you have a torticollis to the right, and you can lift your left hand, and you can turn the head and the eyes to the left side, and so on. So there are some tricks to make it easier, yeah. but you have to have help for this. But then I can also tell you about the physical activity. I think it's important not only doing the exercises so on. It's important that you don't forget the importance of physical activity for health. And with dystonia, it can be more difficult to find suitable forms, but there is always a way. I found that many people with dystonia lose the joy of moving because there is so much tension, it's so much pain. And then the role of the physiotherapist, and good to remind, is not only to give treatment, but also to help the patient back closer to the joy of the moment.
So I like that, yeah.
Yes, and also one more thing I want to say. Dystonia is almost always a chronic disorder. So you have to accept the dystonia in some way. But it's good to know you are a person with dystonia, but not a dystonia person. It's a very big difference. So you are a person with dystonia, but not a dystonia person. And there are many things in your situation you can influence, you can change and improve.
Well, thank you so much, Johanna, for those words. I think you left our listeners with some words of encouragement there. Your story and the little tips that you gave throughout this interview will be very helpful to our community. Johanna, thank you so much for participating in the Positive Twist podcast.
Thank you. It was very nice to be with you. And I hope that some of you who is listening have been encouraging in your situation.
I'm convinced that they will. Take care. This episode was made possible by our supporting partners, Medtronic and Ipsen, as well as our production company, The Rise Factory. Thank you again for listening. And don't forget to subscribe. We release a new episode on the fourth Wednesday of every month. And we hope to have you join us again next time. And hey, until then, take care, and don't forget to live life with a positive twist.